In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the Divine Well faith, the Divine Well life. And this is something that is so extraordinary. It's this is what John Paul kept on telling us about that was coming, the new and divine way of holiness that he wants us to begin to live in. He wants us to, he's getting us prepared for this this new era that's already begun. And we're going to see a lot of sad things happening, but at the same time, a lot of great things are happening. And the main reason is what is here in this era is even though we have been redeemed, we're not sanctified, and God wants sanctification. This is what he shows Louisa. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that Louisa possesses. So today we're starting with volume 12, September 21st, 1920. If the soul suffers in my divine will, Jesus says, if the soul works in my divine will, he says, the soul will feel within herself the life of patience, the life of working in a saintly way. This is something that is astonishing. All our life in, you know, as Catholics are striving for perfection. Jesus says you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we've failed continuously. We have to go to confession almost each week to confess our human will being in charge. This is what we thought. This is what we said. This is what we did. This is what we failed to do. And we don't want to live like this. Jesus is saying if the soul does anything in the divine will, if the soul suffers, if the soul works, she will feel within herself the life of patience, the life of working in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. That's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And little by little, as we continue to read, continue to practice what Jesus is teaching Louisa and continue to possess this as much as we possibly can, your life, that which would bother you before won't bother you. So what happens is your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, and even to the point of sin slowly disappears. And nobody has reached that perfection yet because God is waiting to give this gift to the world. Our job is to strive for it as much as we possibly can, to get ready for that great day when this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that's going to happen, happens, and we will participate in that. And for example, the illumination of conscience, you know, to experience that, or the 3 days of darkness, to experience that is to help us enter into this new era. This is the bridges that we're going to have to cross. And they might happen all at the same time. They might happen in different sequences that we think, but it's going to happen. God is going to get the world ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And the old has to be put aside. Okay. It doesn't mean you go against what we've learned in the Old Testament, the New Testament. But it's like when Jesus came to earth to bring the kingdom of redemption, everyone was waiting for something different. That's why none of the priests went to Bethlehem. Their whole mindset was their own interests, not God's interests. But the wise men coming from a foreign country, they were preparing for it. You know, they went when Daniel went to Persia, basically, under Nebuchadnezzar, he basically gave that prophecy of the Messiah to be born. And the people in Persia who believed were ready to come to Bethlehem at the proper time and adore the king, get ready for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it's the same thing today. It's everything we've learned in the church, St. Cyril and Methodius today, what they have given to us is life, this Catholic life, this Catholic understanding, our dogma, our doctrine, this beautiful universal life that Jesus and Mary gave back to humanity by coming to earth. So we don't get rid of anything of the past. We build up on it. And that's what Jesus shows Louisa with this book of heaven. When we begin to suffer in the divine will, when we begin to work in the divine will, you receive that patience of Jesus, that patience of Mary, the life of working in a saintly way as Jesus and Mary worked. But it doesn't end there. There's more that's coming. So Jesus says to Louisa, so if the soul acts, remain confirmed in my most holy divine will, they lose the human weaknesses, the human miseries, and all that is human, and are substituted by these fonts, these springs of divine life, divine light, divine love. This is the new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied we're going to enter into. This new and divine way of holiness it's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that was given to Louisa. And our God is expecting our response, our duty, our obligation, our life to be one with him. This is our duty. So as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, as we continue on this journey to the kingdom, for bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, our life becomes filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It becomes filled with heaven. You lose your worries. And again, what is worry? It's a demon. And he's trying to make us doubt in Jesus. Oh, God isn't going to take care of you. You've got to worry about this. You've got to get an ulcer. You've got to have a stroke. You've got to have a heart attack because God isn't going to do anything. It's in your hands. That's the lie of the evil one. So you keep on feeding this demon of worry and keeping it alive in you. It's got to be, you starve it out. You starve it out. You say, I'm not going to worry anymore. Jesus, I trust in you. Because that's the final devotion that he said to St. Faustina. The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. My hope is certitude. Christian hope is certitude. I know you are my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. I know you have everything in your hands. You are in charge, and I trust you. I'm going through a difficult situation, but I trust you. And again, we're going to go through some very difficult situations, but our trust is in him. Our hope is in him. We don't have to see it with our own eyes. We believe in Jesus. We trust in him. That's why he says, when I return, will I find any faith on the earth? Is anybody going to believe? And the way it's mentioned in Greek, the way it's translated in Greek, the question is already answered. No. There won't be many who will believe. And that's why Jesus, or scripture tells us that time will be sped up, if you want to say, so that, because if it isn't, even the elect would be led astray. So we're going to hit some very difficult times, but our hope, our confidence, our trust is him. That's why have a crucifix in your house, and it should be centrally located, not the television. But that what should be centrally located is Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Master, our Lord. And then next to the cross is always the Blessed Mother. And Jesus shows us this, that to his right was his mother, to his left was Louisa. So this new era is coming. And it's this reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth that Jesus says is going to be three distinct persons. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So when the apostles were debating who would sit on Jesus's right or left, he said, that's not up to me. It's up to the Father. It's for those who has it been, it's been saved for. That's Our Lady and Louisa. That's why Jesus is always in the center, and his arms are supported by Our Lady and Louisa. So as we get rid of these human weaknesses, these human miseries, these human inadequacies that we possess, he says, it's going to be substituted with these fonts, these rivers, these flowing divine life that he wants us to enter into. By 12, December 22nd, 1920. Now, I will tell you that what your deaths are with which you could live, give life to our brothers and sisters. So Jesus is now saying, I'm going to tell you what your deaths are, which you can give life to our brothers and sisters. This is Luisa saying this. This is essential. When you feel deprived of me, Jesus says, your heart is lacerated. Do we feel that laceration when we're not in front of the Blessed Sacrament? If we don't have that longing to see Jesus as Luisa, we're really not, we don't feel deprived of Christ. We live pretty well without seeing Jesus. But when you feel deprived of Jesus, when you have an hour of adoration every day in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and you don't have that, you feel something is really missing. And what is missing is your love for our Savior, our King, our Master, our Lord, isn't being satisfied because you can't see him. And we can see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We see God, that which looks like bread, tastes like bread, is our living God, humbling himself again to come to us, to wait for us. He says he's waiting in the tabernacle for each and every one of us. And how do we respond to that call of Jesus to come to him? When he said to the apostles, would you stay awake with me for 1 hour? How are we longing for that in our life? Are we planning that by setting aside an hour each day for Jesus? When you feel deprived of me and your heart is lacerated, Jesus says, you feel an iron hand squeezes your heart. You feel a death, or rather more than death, because death would be life for you. So he's talking to Luisa. See, when Luisa did not see Jesus, she says, I'm living dead. I have no heartbeat. I have no breath. I can't live without you, Jesus. That's what God is waiting to see in us. Our love for him so much that we can't live without him. We can't spend time. We can't not spend time with him. We want to spend time with him. We long to spend time with him. We can't wait to be in front of our Eucharistic Lord, looking at him in the monstrance, falling in love with him. It's because we see him. And that's what scripture says. What we are now is children of God. What we will become, we do not know. But what we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. I can't wait for that, to see God as he is. And we should be praying that as our prayer. Lord, I want to see you. Why did Jesus give us Luisa? So that he could see in us the love that Luisa has for him, the love that Luisa has for his mother. And then this is what he's waiting for. You know, what have we learned? Is we just learn to read a book and say, oh, that was nice? Or is this life of Luisa becoming alive in us? Are we longing for Jesus? And if we're not longing for Jesus, there's something wrong, because that's the life of Luisa. We say, oh, I love the divine will. It's Luisa's gift. Jesus wants to see in us Luisa. When he looks at us, does he see Luisa? This death could give life to our brothers and sisters, because this pain, this death contains a divine life, an immense life, a creative power. They contain everything. So what is he saying? He's saying, I want you to experience the longing for me, Jesus says. And when you don't see me, you're not alive. This death, he says to Luisa, is going to give life to our brothers and sisters, because he says, what you are experiencing, they're going to experience. Because this pain, Jesus says, that you're going through, Luisa, this death, Luisa, that you're going through without seeing me, the privation contains divine life, immense life, creative power. They contain everything. He wants us to share in divinity. That drop of water that's put into the chalice is Luisa. She fuses and diffuses. That drop of water becomes wine. God is saying, I want you to share in my divinity. Luisa has done this. And that's why Jesus has given us the book of heaven. Are we responding to Jesus the way Luisa did? In any way, shape, or form? Do we want? I mean, just read again the first chapter of volume 25. He says, what does Jesus say? What does Luisa say? She says, finally, after 40 years of the only window she had was looking to the north, never seeing the sun, never seeing this light, this life of the sun, for 40 years being imprisoned in her bed. Now she's imprisoned in her bed and she's looking right down when her doors are open, when the chapel's doors are open, right at Jesus in the Eucharist, and says, now we're together. You are my prisoner and I am your prisoner. Do we feel that way when we go see Jesus? Or are we there just reading a book, praying some prayers? Are we one with Jesus as a prisoner in the Eucharist, as Luisa was? My life is yours. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God, my all. I want to see you and you alone. This is what God is waiting for to see in us. He says, it's very, very clear. He gives us the longings of Luisa so that instead of, so many people criticize Luisa. Oh, she's always complaining. No, she was so in love with God that she couldn't live without him. She had no heartbeat. She had no breath. She says this over and over. We can live without Jesus. It doesn't bother us because we don't have that love that God knows. This is why he chose Luisa. He chose Luisa because he could see in her that she didn't think about herself. She thought about Jesus. She thought about Mary. She wanted to be so like Jesus and Mary that, in a way, you can say, she received the DNA of Jesus and Mary. She's the one who possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's why God wants to go for us to go to her. Nobody else in all of humanity possessed the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Not even Adam. He didn't have Jesus and Mary at that time. So Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, do you want to enter into this divine life? Do you want to enter into this immense divine light? Do you want to enter into this immense divine creative power of God that contains everything? He says, come to me. Now, it's when he said to the apostles, come to me, all you that are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. That's a saintly thing. That's a good thing. That's a holy thing. What he did with Luisa, he became her everything. That's that. What is divine life, immense light, creative power? It's Jesus. She breathed in this life of Jesus through the rule of God, the breath of God, and possessed it. And when she didn't see him, she said, I don't have life. Where are we? How close are we to the way Luisa lived? I know I hear so many people, I'm living in the divine will. You're not living in you want the divine will, but to live in the divine will is to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is perfection. That outpouring hasn't happened yet. We are basically what Jesus said to the apostles, you know, go to the cenacle and wait for the Holy Spirit. We go staying with Our Lady and now with Luisa, the newborn, the Theotokos, the mother of God, the little daughter of the divine will. And we wait for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming. The divine life, the immense light, the creative power that contains everything is coming to the earth. This is a glorious time to be alive. We are so fortunate to be given the book of heaven. And Jesus says that to Luisa. If you have the book of heaven, Jesus says, God planned this. Basically, God wanted you to read this book. I chose you. I predestined you to live at this time. We have a duty and obligation to our God. And if we just say, I don't need Louisa, I don't need the book of heaven, how sad that is for the Lord. Enter into this new divine life, this new divine immense light, this new divine creative power of God, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. So Jesus says to Louisa, this death that you're going through, this pain, which contains an eternal and infinite value, is what you go through when you miss me, when the privations. And he says this to Louisa. He says, you're the only one who longs for me like this. My mother longed for this because that's her life. You, Louisa, now long for this. He says to Louisa, this is why I have chosen you. This is why I stay away from you. Because through you, I can feel all of humanity praying, longing for me, longing for my return, longing for the kingdom. I can't find that in any other human born of original sin. Do you see why he says that these privations that you're going through, Louisa, they are a death and a pain that what contains eternal and infinite value. So this torture that Louisa went through, this death, this pain that Louisa went through, basically, it's our response. We're not responding to God, so she did it for us, longing for him, desiring him, begging him to reveal himself. Do we do that? I can guarantee you 99.99999% of the time, we don't even think of it. Doesn't even cross our minds. So how many lives, Jesus says, could you give to our brothers? So here, and sisters, here is, it's very, very important. I do believe the reason the Lord says how many lives you could give to our brothers, he's talking about the priests, because the priests are going to give this gift to humanity. I bring in his sisters because it's basically all of humanity that the priests are going to give this to. So how many lives, and you could just change the word there, how many lives could you give to our priests, Louisa? He says, I, God, will suffer these deaths together with you, Louisa, to give the priests the value of my death, so that as to release life from death, it's an exchange. I'll take their death to give them my life. And that's what the Lord has done. That's why the greatest power on earth that we can see in each of our homes is Christ crucified. Christ crucified. That's what St. Paul says. We preach a Christ crucified. So these deaths that Louisa went through, this longing for Jesus, this desire for Jesus, has given us the value of Jesus' death. And he releases divine life for our death, our dying. He takes on our dying and he gives us his life. Again, the main thing of this great gift of the divine will is to focus on Jesus and Mary. Focus on the life of Jesus and Mary. So the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will, have to be surrendered to God. And again, you use your free will. Here's your free will. And it says, do I want to live my miserable human life? All the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, the doubts. Or do I want to live Jesus' life, Mary's life, through Louisa, the divine will? Again, it's we're, God is asking us to make a choice. And so that's why at the end of your prayer, your prevenient act, you should be saying, I mean, you should have gotten to this point by now. I don't want anything of earth anymore. I only want that of heaven. I only want you, Jesus, because you lead us to the Father. You, through you, the Holy Spirit is going to be showering us, pouring upon us this new and divine way of holiness that we're longing for, this kingdom of God on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Breathe in this dust. Every time we breathe, see, as you begin to pray the rounds, nothing of earth matters anymore. It doesn't mean that you hate it. It's your whole goal is heaven. And your whole goal is heaven on earth, because that's what Jesus wants. And where has it got to begin? In each, every, and every one of us. That's what God is asking us to begin to live this life, this light, this love of God, diving into this infinite ocean of love and never leaving. So Jesus says to Louisa, look how many deaths you suffer, Louisa. How many deaths do we suffer? Do we long for Jesus as Louisa did? Do we desire Jesus as Louisa did? Do we cry out for Jesus as Louisa did? Do we want heaven? She's always saying to Jesus, let me die, let me go to heaven. That's the divine will. I want nothing of earth. I want only that of heaven. Look how many deaths you suffer, Louisa. Each time you want me, each time you long for me, each time you cry for me and you do not find me, is a real death for you, Louisa? Is it a real death for us? Or do we get bored? I think about the time we spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Is your mind racing for the things that you have to do rather than falling in love with God? See, Louisa's the one who died when she did not see Jesus. When you want me, when you long for me, when you cry out for me, Louisa, and you do not find me, it is a real death for you, Louisa. Because you really do not see me. You really do not feel me. This is death for you. Is it death for us? Do we go out of our way to find Jesus in the Eucharist? Do we go out of our way to make that a priority of our life? The souls that are most beautiful to Jesus are the ones that want to be with him, the ones that want Holy Mass every day, that want Eucharistic adoration every day. And I know that might be impossible for most, but spiritual communions, how many spiritual communions do you make throughout the day? How many times do you kneel and say to the Lord, I want to receive you spiritually right now. I want you to be with, I want to consume you. I want to be one with you. I want to be fused with you. Jesus says that. He says, if you pray every day to be fused with him, it will happen. Little by little, everything that is fallen disappears from you. Everything that is, as he says, divine life, divine light, divine power, divine strength is given to you. That is eternal and has infinite value is given to you. That's the divine will. And that's why God is calling us. He's telling us basically the show is wrapping up, you know, and we're in the final act of the fallen human nature, if you want to say, because the kingdom is coming. The 2,000 years of praying, may your kingdom come and reign on earth, this dust as it is in heaven, is happening because of Louisa. And Jesus says, I need you, Louisa, and those who are going to read this to go through this martyrdom, to go through this death each day of longing for me, desiring me, crying out to me, pleading to be with me. He's God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our all. And he's saying, all I can see it in you, Louisa, and you're doing it for everyone. He says, but what you have put down in paper is to help those enter into this life. What you have suffered, Louisa, is to help those to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. And we want, this is what we want more than anything. So he says, when you do not see me, when you do not feel me, he says, you are going through the greatest martyrdom. And that is, which is death for you. And he says, can be life for others, can be life for us. if we are docile, if we're surrendered, if we're submissive, if we have the right disposition, Jesus says, I will give it to you as well. This abundant life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, not the fallen life of Adam. But even though Jesus has come and taken our place of suffering, dying on the cross for us, taking upon himself all our worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and doubts and sin, Jesus says, unless you begin to live this resurrected life of Jesus, this resurrected life of Mary, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, he says, you're not free of earth yet. He says, I want this to begin before you die, Jesus says. So he says, this martyrdom that you're going through, Louisa, is giving life to others. Are we beginning to long for Jesus? Are we beginning to desire Jesus? Are we beginning to want to go to Holy Mass? And now if you're going to Holy Mass, again, when you receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, you're the host until the host is dissolved. That's for at least 15 to 20 minutes. Some saints say 20 minutes. That is the time when you are in communion with God. You spend the time adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So there's an explosion of I love yous up to the throne of God when you receive Holy Communion. Jesus said to Louisa, watch the power that's going to come out of the Holy Eucharist when the divine will reigns. We haven't seen anything yet. This new and divine way of holiness is very close. And for some, it's just beginning where we want, long, plead, beg to be with God. We beg for heaven as Louisa did, on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 13, December 10th, 1921. The acts done in my most holy divine will are divine seeds which carry with them the creative power. Okay, Jesus said, be fruitful and multiply. So he's showing us it's not just about children. It's about every thought, every word, every deed. These acts that you do in my divine will are divine seeds. When you say to Jesus, I want to live in the divine will, Jesus is conceived in your heart. Your heart becomes his throne. And now every act that you do is another molecule, another atom that is added to this God who wants to reign in us. And to the point where you get to the point with praying your rounds is all your senses are made for God. You want God in charge of your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hands, your feet. You want God to reign fully, not just a personal relationship with Jesus. He wants to be the Lord of your life, of every thought, every word, every deed. That's heaven. That's heaven. See, the fallen human nature, even though Jesus has redeemed us, is still in charge. But that day is coming to an end. What did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947? Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. It's a new era has begun. That's why John Paul II says, get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. Get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the new Jerusalem. So he says, every act that you do, every thought, every word, every deed that you do in the divine will, he says, is a seed that carries with them a creative power more than suns in the sky. Not only to fundicate, but to create more seeds, to multiply them to infinity. When you go to Holy Mass, when the priest says, let us pray, that's a time for us to say whatever you want to say. Your family needs help, your friends, neighbors, coworkers, the world. But the main thing we should be praying in the divine will is may your kingdom come now, soon, hurry. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's Louisa's job, and Jesus is offering this to us as well. He's so happy that Louisa is here. He's so happy that he's finally found a soul to begin again where Adam left off, to receive this new and divine way of holiness which is the divine will, which is this creative power, which creates seeds, multiplies them to infinity. He tells Louisa, he says to Louisa, the saints were like the flowers on the trees, the apple trees, the pear trees, the plum trees. It's like the flowers. He says the children of the divine will are the fruit. Why? Why does he love the fruit? Because it has more seeds for more trees. This is God. Be fruitful and multiply. He wants us to multiply every thought, one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. Every thought, every word, every deed to infinity and beyond. You see how the evil one mocks God with cartoons to infinity and beyond. God is doing this. He's not going to be mocked. He says, these seeds give me the field for new creation. See, again, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. The creation of the earth, the creation of the world is going to explode with I love yous. We haven't seen anything yet. These seeds done in the divine will, these acts that you do in the divine will, give me, God, the field, the North 40, for new creations of my divine power and motion. He says, and are bearers giving birth to this divine life. See, what God's planned is we are to be like him. We through holy baptism, we're in his image, and now the likeness. We're learning how to be in the likeness of God. Well, what is that? For new creations. God is going to do this in us. That's why did Jesus say, you'll do far greater miracles than I? Because we haven't seen anything yet. We're the children of God. And Jesus says, the Father wants us to look like him. He doesn't want us to be any different than him. And this is why he's going to create each one of us as his own divine masterpiece that no one can compare to. Each one unique in all of the universe. No one can compare. Now, when you think of the angels, each angel is a different creature of a different species. They're so unique. None of the angels look like the same. This is why there's 9 choirs. Each one is more spectacular than the other. And this is what God is going to do for humanity. He's going to make his divine masterpiece with his children. He's done this with the angels, and now he wants to do it with us. But what is he saying? He's saying to us, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean. I want you to really begin to live this new and divine way of holiness. So volume 14, April 13, 1922. Now, do you know what our divine life is? We, triune God, amuse ourselves very much in releasing from us, triune God, new images of ourselves. That's the divine masterpiece. We, triune God, are in a continuous act of forming our images, so much so that heaven and earth are filled with our images. Their shadows flow everywhere. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas says, when you see creation, you begin to experience the love of God. So when we do our rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, God says, I want to fill the heavens and the earth with our images, images and likenesses. That's the children of God. The sun is our image, and its light is the shadow of ours, which covers all the earth. The heavens are our image, which extends everywhere and carries the shadow of our own immensity. Man is our image, who carries our divine power, our divine wisdom, our divine love within himself. So we do nothing, Jesus says. The triune God does nothing other than continuously produce our divine images, which resemble God. That's us. Now, we haven't seen anything yet. This is what I'm saying. Now, one who must live in our divine will, that's Louisa and us, the souls who must live in our divine will, living in our divine womb, must form many other copies of ourselves together with us. Be fruitful and multiply. They must form other copies of ourselves together with us. The souls must be with us in our work. The souls must let copies and shadows of us, triune God, come out of herself and fill the whole earth and heaven. That's Louisa first. It's Jesus and Mary. The firstborn of original sin is Louisa. Shadows of divine life, divine love, divine light is coming out of Louisa. That's happening to us little by little. Now, in creating Adam, we formed Adam with our hands, and breathing over Adam, we gave Adam life. This is why when you breathe, Jesus, breathe in me as you breathe this Ruah of God, this breath of God into Adam. I want to breathe this in, but I want you, Jesus, the new Adam, and you, Mary, the new Eve, to breathe into me. Give me this divine life that you possess. Once we, Triune God, made the first Adam, all the others take their origin from the first. We are copies, and we become copies of the first. Adam fell. So this body has to get old, wrinkled, gray-haired, and become food for worms. That's what this body has to do. The new and glorified body that's coming is of Jesus and Mary. Our divine power flowing through all generations reproduces Adam's copy. Now, since we, Triune God, constitute you, Louisa, firstborn daughter of our divine will, it is necessary that you, Louisa, live one with us, fuse with us, in order to form the first copy of the soul who lives in our most holy divine will. You are the first copy of the soul who lives in our divine will. We, Jesus says, he wants to see that in us. He wants to see in us this copy of Louisa. Are we responding to Jesus the way Louisa does? That shows you if you're living in the divine will or not. Where's Louisa in you? Jesus says she's the first copy of all the souls who are going to live in the divine will. So Jesus says, so that as Louisa lives in us, Louisa may receive our divine attitude and may learn with our divine power to operate according to our divine way, Jesus says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? Once we have made a copy of you, Louisa, the first copy of the soul who lives in our divine will, more copies will come. Do we resemble Louisa in any way, shape, or form? Can God look at us and say, I see Louisa in you? Why? You long for me. You plead for me. You beg for me as Louisa did. You can't stay away from me as Louisa couldn't. You can't live without me, Jesus says. Does he see in us the first copy of Louisa? May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.